Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming and thanks for being early. If you know anybody at all that you think would be interested, please let them know about the program, about the school. We'd love to see a few more people come and join us as well. And I wanted to run through the time that we have together now just to talk to you a little bit about why do we have the school. And what are the objectives and some of the outcomes. And then we'll look a little bit, very briefly, at some of the courses that are available that you'll be going through. And then see if you have any questions. That'll be the part that I'll cover. Monty then will take over, and he'll run through a bunch of the kind of administrative type things so that you are aware of, you know, what's going on here. Sign up. So let me first of all talk a little bit about, well, let me back up even a little bit further. So one of the things about Bethel, in terms of its history, and this is not unique to Bethel, but maybe not as many churches are as deliberate as Bethel tries to be. One of the things that is in the history and the storyline and the core values that drives what Bethel tries to do around here is to not so much have a place that we attract people to as much as to have a place where we equip and empower you to go out and do ministry. You know, to some degree, the people of God in the Old Testament in comparison to the New Testament can be described as follows. In the Old Testament, Israel was set up as a nation where God wanted to work with a people and make them prepared for the coming of the Messiah so that he could shift gears into another stage of his plan of redemption for humanity. And the Old Testament sense of mission of the people of God could be perhaps summed up with the phrase, come and see. But the New Testament could probably be better summed up with the phrase, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. Israel was never charged with the mission to go out into all the world. Instead, they were a little bit more like Adam and Eve in the beginning, to where they were supposed to stay in the garden and cultivate and keep the garden. And as a consequence of that, grow in their knowledge of God and of one another and of the environment around them. But what the scriptures clearly indicate is that from the very beginning, God intended to launch them out from that microcosm of an intersection of heaven and earth and go into a wild but untamed good earth and cultivate it to the glory of God. God's intention from the very beginning has been to fill the earth with His glory. That's been frustrated by human sin. And if you look at the overall unfolding of the plan of God from Old to New Testaments, you find that underlying objective, that fundamental purpose that was given to us still stands. God wants the whole earth filled with His glory. This same pattern of bringing His people close to Himself and then launching them out is seen even in Jesus' interaction with His disciples. For 3.5 years, He cultivates a close relationship with an inner core of disciples, but His intention was never to simply hang around and have them enjoy the privileges of benefits of being close friends of His. His intention was always to train them. It was always to equip them. It was always to prepare them. It was always to send them. And so when He rises from the dead, and on the first day of His resurrection meets with them in the upper room, the Gospel of John significantly records His words where He says, even as The Father has sent me, so I am sending you. God sends His people into the world on mission in partnership with the Holy Spirit in order to extend the gospel and the presence and the blessing and the power of the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what God wants to do with you. This is not about learning information for information's sake. This is not about simply scratching the curiosity itch that a subset of us tend to have, to where we're satisfied with simply understanding things, but then we don't necessarily go out and do anything with what we learn. The purpose of this school of discipleship lies at the very heart of the mission of God. It's not the only way to try and accomplish the objective of equipping and empowering people to engage in God's ministry, God's work of extending His kingdom and the kingdom message around the world, but that's the primary objective. So the two key outcomes that we hear from people that go through the school and that actually engage the material and do the homework that's assigned is, number one, you will strengthen your own relationship with God. Your own walk with God will be strengthened. If there's been vacillation in the past, if there's been more ups and downs in the past, if there's been wavering in the past, there'll be less of that as you come out of the school of discipleship, if you engage the material and take it, you know, to heart. But the other thing is that not only does it benefit you, but it will benefit other people in your life. If you will take God's mission to heart, if you'll make room in your heart for Him to expand the concern and the compassion that you have for other people, what you'll find is that you'll have a greater confidence, having been equipped, having learned some things, and having practiced some things over the course of the year, to where instead of hesitating or waffling or shrinking back in those moments where you know the Holy Spirit is wanting you to do something or say something, there's a greater likelihood that you'll actually step up to the plate and do what God is nudging you in your heart to do. And so that's the objective. That's the passion that lies behind what we do in here. And so that's important to keep as a backdrop. You know, again, that this is not about you being a good Christian. I'm not interested in being a good Christian, right? But I am interested in being a good follower of Jesus Christ in that sense, in terms of getting to know Him better and walking with Him as He is constantly on the move of reaching out to the world in which we live. And so that's why we do this school of discipleship. At the top of your notes there on the first page, it talks about the mission. It puts it in these words. It says that Bethel School of Discipleship is a 2-year program consisting of courses in discipleship and biblical studies designed to build strong believers who are equipped to make disciples. And so there you have it, the twin purpose. Make you stronger than what you are now, but equip you to go and make disciples. And the fundamental definition of a disciple is someone who's a follower of Jesus, or another way to say it, the difference between a student and a disciple is that a student may be able to absorb and understand and regurgitate information, but a disciple actually takes that information and puts it into practice. That's the big difference. In fact, the word for disciple in the original language of Greek, which is where that word pops up, of course, in our Bibles, is the word that gives us actually the word mathematics. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, mathetes. It's the idea of being disciplined about something. So mathematics is a disciplined form of thinking, if you will, a way of interacting with the world in the way that God has structured it. God has put an order to it. So a disciple is a disciplined one, someone who puts into practice the words of Jesus. And that's what we're after here. And so the homework, you know, I mean, somebody made up the homework, right? Some person thought it up. Maybe sometimes it's well thought out. You know, maybe sometimes it's not as well thought out. The bottom line, though, of the objective of the homework and stuff like that, again, it's not about grades. It's not about graduating. None of those things are important. Who cares what your grade is and who cares whether you graduate? People get good grades and graduate from stuff all the time and then don't do anything with the education they got. That's not the point. The point is, how is it impacting you? Are you treasuring the words of God? Do you love them? Do you eat them? Are they like food to you? Are they your sustenance? Are they your life? And how are they affecting the way you see the world? How do they affect your speech? How do they affect your conduct? How do they affect the way that you see other people? How do they affect your decision making? How do they affect your ability to move into situations and to be a source of light and of salt and of life so that you're a transforming agent in the midst of other people's lives? That's what matters in terms of this program, okay? So I feel so passionate about it because I think that watching changed lives and hearing the stories of people that will go through the program, that to me is the most satisfying moment in the whole process. It's at the end of the year where we have a wrap-up party and we give an opportunity for people to talk about, okay, what's it been like over the last year? How has this touched your life? And the stories that we get to hear, the other people's lives that have been changed because somebody who was in the classes and went through all the tedium and the boredom at times and, you know, following through and doing assignments, you know, when your life is already busy and you got 500 other things going on, that's the value of it all. And I hope that you'll keep that in mind. Don't let the mundane and the routine and the busyness of life squelch out the real heart and the purpose behind the stuff that we have here. The other thing I wanted to do real quick before I hand it over to Monty is just to describe a quick kind of overview purpose of year one versus year two and to look briefly at the courses that we have. Year one, you can see that described here under number two, consists primarily of foundational courses in discipleship, while year two consists primarily of foundational courses in biblical studies. So in other words, year one is going to do more of a job of grounding you in your own walk with the Lord and equipping you with some understanding and some tools to be able to be more effective in your interaction with other people when it comes to applying your faith, your knowledge of God into their lives and their situations. Presuming that you do that, in other words, that you get more grounded and you start interacting with other people on a deeper level, a more engaged level, year two then is about coming back behind year one and giving you more knowledge that you can simply then filter into the stuff you already learned in year one, if that makes sense. So year two is going to be looking at understanding and knowing the contents of the Bible better, understanding some of the major authoritative teachings of the Bible, such as the Trinity or the Incarnation. What does it mean for Jesus to be both God and man, and how has the church understood that? So let's look real quick at the courses. Page over in year one, and this is the correct list now, right? Okay, so you can see here on page three, the first half of that box is the first semester, which runs from now until the end of May. And we cover some things like the life of faith, so there'll be some things taught about faith and what does the Bible teach about faith, what are some principles of faith. And some of that hopefully will bring some clarity of understanding, but also inspire you to grow in your faith and to put it into practice in your life. The second one here is personal transformation. We'll look at some basic principles or truths in the Bible, primarily principles though, that are the way that God uses to bring about change in your own life or in the lives of other people. So the idea will be is that as you grasp God's methodology, if you will, God's way of bringing about personal change, that hopefully you can apply that to some area of your own life so you can see more growth, but also that you'll have a little bit more wisdom and understanding so that when other people are dealing with stuff, you have a better biblically informed way of talking to them to try and help them to experience change in their life. The next one here is on spiritual disciplines. And that's basically talking about what are some of the biblically revealed ways that God meets with us and develops us in terms of our spiritual formation. How do we feed ourselves on a regular basis? How do we feed on Christ? How do we experience His presence? How do we develop and grow in our knowledge of God? And that'll focus on the basics, things like fasting and the importance of having a habit of biblical reading, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, the importance of prayer. But one of the things it'll do is hopefully deconstruct the idea that if you do these things, God will love you more, because that's not true. The next class is on evangelism. For some people, that's like a cuss word. They would never say that publicly, but in their own life, the fear or the discouragement or the guilt that it induces on the inside of them suggests that it's not something that they like to engage in. So evangelism, in its most basic definition, is simply telling good news. That's all it means. That's what the Greek word means. It means to simply tell other people good news. And so what that course will do is it'll help take the essence of the gospel and identify it in a clear and succinct way so that in even a brief conversation, you would have some mental pegs, if you will, or benchmarks that you can quickly access so that you can talk to them in a way that helps lead them into at least a basic understanding of the key truths that God wants to communicate to people in bringing them good news concerning the salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ. And we have some tools as well, in other words, some things that have been developed mostly by Pastor Rice, who's actually not a pastor but an evangelist. And he's written some materials that are used around the world, and they're easy to use, and so we'll review those tools a little bit in the class here. In terms of the second semester, brief description, spiritual gifts, so we'll look at that a little bit, talk about things like healing and prophecy and how to even petition God and how to work with the Holy Spirit to express those things through your own ministry to other people. We'll talk a little bit about discipleship. What do you do with somebody if they respond to the gospel? Is it the pastor's job to make sure that they follow Jesus? Is it the church's job in general? Or is it actually your responsibility? And if you're responsible, then, if God uses you to influence somebody or come across somebody that's a newer believer or even an older believer, but they don't have a good, stable, solid walk with Jesus, how can you help them? What should you do? And so this class will go through some very basic, practical things that many people either aren't aware of or they take for granted. But being deliberate with somebody else and understanding how to lay foundations in their life so that they have their own consistent, stable, strong walk with the Lord is important. Each of you should know how to do that. And the early church, when you go back and you read about the first few centuries of the early church, the picture that we get is that the vast majority of believers were engaged in communicating their faith to other people and helping them follow Jesus. It was not the job of the elite, you know, professionals, so to speak. The average rank and file person, rich, poor, young, old, male, female, everybody was involved in sharing their faith and helping other people follow Jesus. When you go back and you read the historical documents of what the church looked like. So that'll take a look at that. And then we've got servant leadership. That'll just look a little bit about how God's character, when expressed in roles of leadership, expresses itself in the attitude of being a servant and how important that is. Because every one of you is called to exercise some kind of influence in the lives of other people. And then by virtue of that, every one of you is called to be a leader in some capacity. And leadership is something that you can learn about and something that you can grow in your life. So if you've never thought of yourself as a leader before, if you will stay around here long enough and get around the right environments here at Bethel, you'll realize that actually God has a leadership role for you in this world. And if you'll be faithful to discharge those responsibilities for the people that He's put in your life and to understand how to function as a leader so that you're attractional and not repulsive, then He will entrust you with more responsibility and more influence in the lives of other people. And then finally, the last class will be on life groups. And of course, that has to do with Jesus' pattern of not merely ministering to crowds, but pulling together small groups of people. In particular, you know, He had His 12. And much of the Christian life in terms of the week in, week out, the strengthening, the caring, the learning takes place really in smaller settings. And Jesus did that with His own disciples, and we should learn from His example. It's a very, very effective mode of connecting, both in terms of relationship, but also in terms of helping to forge and to mentor and to impact one another to grow more. Year two courses we'll skip over since you guys are all here for year one, but you can look at those for down the road. They're on another page. So let me see if you have any questions about anything that I've just covered. And if not, I'm going to hand it over to Monty. But first, any questions at all about anything covered so far? Yes?
Are all these courses already online?
Yes, Monty will cover that. But the brief answer is that every year we teach the same courses. And so the recordings from last year are already online. And as we teach the course again this year, we take last year's course and we roll it off. So all of the courses are always there, and we simply replace the audio each year with the new teaching that takes place live together. You can do the entire program online, but just be aware that statistically, somewhere close to 80% or so of all people who embark on online programs of any kind don't complete them. Do not complete them. Because there's something about the live interaction and the whole dynamic of being here together with other people that spurs you on to stay in the game. And when you do it by yourself, you have to be one of those highly motivated, unusual individuals who doesn't draw much encouragement from other people anyway. And so you'll go ahead and execute it and complete it. But most people don't do that. But it will be there online. The great benefit, of course, is that if you miss for any reason, serving, sick, travel, or let's just say you're not being an obedient Christian that day and you just decide to stay home and watch sports and lay on the couch, it isn't enticing from time to time. You can still go online and you can do the material online. Well, that really depends on yourself. You could certainly blow through it a lot faster. But there is homework that needs to be done. There's about, and again, Monty will get into that. And then there's assignments or projects that you have to go out and do occasionally here and there as well. None of them are, they're not going to make you, freeze up or anything like that. But it takes time to execute all that. I think that an average person could do this in easily half the time, you know, given they already have a busy life. You could do it in half the time. But if you want to do something like that, don't just do it independently. I would communicate with probably Monty and see what he would recommend, you know, in terms of like sequence or something like that. So, any other questions or comments? Okay. All right, well, I'm going to hang around. Monty will cover some of the administrative details now. Feel free to, just raise your hand, ask a question as we go through this. And then at the end, I'll wrap up a little bit and see if there's any remaining questions.
You will have notes to work from. The notes will look basically like this. They'll usually be 4 pages, maybe 5 pages long. this is where your test will come from, is off the notes, not off the instructor extra comments, but you still need to learn to take notes also. We're going to go over just some of the details. First of all, you just met Pastor Bruce. He's executive pastor and director of education. I'm the administrative assistant to Pastor Bruce. We'll also have a young lady named Jessica Ferris. Some of you may know her as Jessica Ashworth. She got married. She will do some of the work here too. If I just have a bad day and decide I don't want to come, she'll do what I'm doing on a Sunday. But we're here for a couple of things. My wife and I and Jessica, we're here to answer any questions you may have during the class, to talk to you about any problems you're having in terms of getting online or in terms of studying or things you just don't understand. We're here for that. We also, I'm part of the altar care team, so if there's prayer needs, we certainly can do that for you as well. Like I said, this is my sixth year. The big thing for me is the stories and the experiences. We had a young lady last year who finished year one. She went through the evangelism part, the discipleship part. She was able to present the gospel to her sister, and her sister accepted the Lord. Stories like that just keep me going. I love those things. We had a couple of years ago, we had a couple in here that had lots of issues with children, older children, personal issues. I know about that because we've shared that walk about that with our boys. And after she came through that, part of her testimony, which she did a video for us, was that I've learned that the journey didn't change, the traveler did. And she was the traveler. So it gave her a lot of peace, it gave her a lot of hope, it gave her places to go in the Word to look for things for when she was just having lots of issues. Because you can't necessarily change the people you're with. You don't get to pick your family, right? But there's hope when you learn about these things. I had a gentleman one time tell me he'd been a Christian all of his life. He'd been a deacon in a church. He didn't know he could study the Bible himself. He just counted on the leadership of the church. And his eyes were opened. It was unbelievable how he began to dig into the Word and learn things he didn't know. So those are the kind of stories that we like. The one thing I do want to tell you is Pastor Bruce talks about this being a two-year school, but they're independent of one another. If you go to year one, you're not signing up for year two unless you choose to. But you can't go to year two unless you've been to year one. There's nothing that says when you commit to year one and you register that I'm going to start sending you emails about signing up for year two next year. That's all between you and the Lord and what you want to do, okay? To go back to your question, there's 40 hours of audio by themselves. If you all eight courses times four, and each class is an hour and 15 minutes, so I think that's about 40 hours. I've had some students try to do that and do all the homework and take the test and do all the extra requirements that are part of the class. They never get much out of it. You need to take it slow. You need to understand. I would rather you finish one course and not do something for a while and take your time and understand that course than to go to the next one and just skim through it. Because you can always come back next year for those you've missed. But it's up to you. We've had a couple of students who came in August and still graduated in December because they went back and did it on their own. But that's not the recommended way to do it. Other thing that you have, first of all, you don't have to be a member to come to this class. As Pastor Bruce has said, you don't even have to be saved to come to this class. Hopefully by the end of it, the scenario will be different. But you don't have to do any of that. We just want you to come and learn, and you'll see things and insights. I mean, as old as I am and as much as I've been in church, I still learn things every day. I learn things from you all. That's not something you stop. And it always gives you insights, and I always find that it gives you hope. If you can come and not graduate. There's no pressure there either. But we do have a graduation. It's in December of every year on a Wednesday night. We have a good time. We have robes everywhere. We have people walking across the stage. At year one, you get what's called a certificate of discipleship. And then in year two, you get a diploma for going through both years. So you graduate twice. That's pretty cool. If you are going to graduate or you want to work toward that, you've got to complete every course every week, including the homework. Now, that doesn't mean you can't miss a week. It just means if you can't be here on site, which is what we would prefer because of the interaction, the impartation, all the things that happen, that doesn't mean that you don't get to participate. Because all of these audios, all of these classes will be online. The notes will be online. I'll always have some extra ones when you come back if you missed the last week, if you need that. But everything's available to you. Once you register, you'll get a notebook. I mean, we just spared no expense in this notebook. And in this notebook, though, is a checklist. And we'll go over that a little bit, just briefly. But that checklist has every course, and it has a place for you to say, I was here, even though I've got your attendance. I know you're here if you show up. If you miss a couple of weeks, I don't know if you've listened to the audios or not. So you have to tell me. And the way you do that is when you just get in the habit of doing it on your own checklist. And then when we have a test, I also ask you if you've done your homework. And so we've got double checks on that. You're always the final say on it. If I say, no, you've not done your homework, and you go to your list and it says, yes, I did, then that prevails. But it's important that you develop a little bit of discipline on this. Registration is mandatory if you want to graduate. If you just want to come to class, you won't get a notebook. You can get notes. But we usually will let you come to one course before you have to make your final decision about registration. But we really want you to register if you're going to consistently come. It's a materials fee more than it is anything else. All homework must be completed. And from time to time, an instructor will say, this is not in your notes, but I want you to go out this week and read Proverbs 16. Well, that's extra work. You need to complete that if they tell you to. Most instructors don't do that. It's for your benefit, not for mine. It's all on the honor system. So if you tell me you did it, you did it. Now, if you tell me you did it and you didn't do it, that's something you have to deal with, not me. But it's all on the honor system. You just tell me when you do it, and I'll show you how we do that too. There are what we call assessments. I still call them tests. They're not hard. What will happen is, this particular course that starts next Sunday, Life of Faith, will be 4 weeks long. You'll complete those. Then on the next month, the first Sunday of the next month, you'll start the next class. But the first 15 minutes of that class will be a test or an assessment on the previous 4 weeks. That's the way it works. So if you get here a little early, you get to start your test a little early. These are usually multiple choice. They can be true, false. There can be a little bit of matching or an intermix of it, but most everything is multiple choice. And if you've looked at your notes and you've studied just a little, they're not hard, but we do need to complete them. And you'll get a pass. If you have to make 70% or above. You have to pass it, but there's no such thing as a fail. So if you don't pass it, if you don't get the 70, you get to retake it. And if you need to retake it multiple times, that's fine. I've had a few students that just cannot take a written test. I had one student give it to me verbally and take the test verbally. And that was okay. I took the time to do that, and that's fine. But most people don't have that much of an issue. And again, the tests are not that hard. What happens is you'll complete them, you give them to me, we grade them. Next week, hopefully it'll always be within a week, we give them back to you. And the purpose for that is, as I would put it if I were talking to myself, I'm not nearly as smart as I think I am. So when I get a test, I look at that and say, oh, well, I thought I knew that, but I didn't. And it's really to increase our own knowledge, not just so we've got head knowledge, but so we can apply it properly. This is how I know you're doing your homework, and you tell me how many times you've attended the class, either on site or via audio. So when you get the test after this first 4 weeks are over, it'll have this cover sheet on it. This has no impact on your grade in any way. It just says, I've attended all four of the classes. I attended three of them online. I attended three of them on site. I did one audio. And then if I've completed the homework, just yes. Now, if you say no, there's no condemnation. I just will at some point come back and say, you're incomplete here. When are you going to get this done? You've got plenty of time. There's no deadlines on this. But that's what you'll see. That's how that works. Here are the things that make people have a little consternation, I guess I would say, on occasion. There are certain things, if you want to graduate, you have to complete. You have to be a member. You have to be a member to graduate. So at some point, if you're not a member, you go through the Connect class. On a Saturday is usually it, because the question comes up, well, Connect class is at 11 a.m. on Sundays. This class is at 11 a.m. on Sundays. What do I do? Throughout the year, there are Connect classes that are intensives where you get the whole thing on a Saturday, and that's what they do. You don't have to do it that way, but at some point, you become a member. I don't know if that's an issue for anyone in here. I think I've seen most of your smiling faces quite a bit, so I'm assuming a lot of you are members. It says you have to be in a life group or be involved in a ministry department. Life groups are important in this church. It just helps you get connected. That's the main thing that we're talking about. You have to complete, like children's ministry, your greeter, all of that. That it's an or situation, but even with that, it's usually those departments will have a life group too. So some way or another, you're going to get into life group. That really becomes important to your personal maturity in Christ, but it also is part of year two. Everybody know what this is? Purple Book. Part of the requirement is that you do chapters 1-4 of the Purple Book. If you've already done them, that counts. You don't have to do it twice, but you have to do that if you've not done the Purple Book before. And this is also one of the evangelism tools and discipleship tools we'll talk about. So when you get your binder, you get one of these. You have to use the God. This is a good one. How many people have used the God test already? Sandy, God test. Okay. If you haven't, now I'm not sure we're going to give you these this year, because they're actually going to stop printing them because they're so accessible online. You can put them on your phone. So we haven't made that final decision yet. But you have to use the God test and talk to at least two people about God and the gospel. Now, those of you who have done it, it'd be nice if you do it again. You have to do it for two people. If you haven't done it, just think about some people. Pray about who the Lord might put in front of you that you could do the God test with. One side is for those who believe. But if they say, no, I don't believe in God, you just flip it over and go through the other questions. And that's part of a requirement to graduate. You have to attend the house-to-house outreach. Does everybody know what house-to-house is? Okay, lots of people come through here and say, I don't know what that is. This Sunday we'll have visitors in the church service. We get their names. The next Saturday, people go visit those visitors in their homes, unannounced. So sometimes they're not home, or sometimes they're hiding under the window if they see you coming. We go visit those. You're sent out in pairs. That's biblical. And you take them a gift bag. Thank them for coming to Bethel. Ask them if there's any prayer needs that they have, or if you can pray with them. I want to say that it's unusual that people get real nervous about this, but it's not unusual. People have issues with this, especially if it's somebody you've never met. I've had other people go and knock on a door, and 2 hours later, they leave because they've been in prayer and conversation about the Bible with people who have issues and all. That's what house to house is. So you have to sign up. There is a day that's dedicated to year one, and right now that is August the 24th. However, obviously, we don't have that many visitors that all of you could go visit somebody on August 24th. So there, every Saturday almost, there's a house-to-house. And if you're part of children's ministry, you may want to go with them. That counts. You just have to let me know so that I can make sure they have a little food for you on Saturday and they have the packets ready for you. And that's what House to House is. It's just meeting people you don't know and welcoming them to the church, even if they're only coming one time. We've had some people go to apartment houses and apartments, but people aren't there at all. So they stop at the security office and give it to them. You can get real creative with this. But I've yet to have anybody say we had a horrible time doing this. And this is my sixth year of doing this. So that's a requirement. Use the one-to-one booklet. Does everybody know what the one-to-one booklet is? It's this little booklet by Steve Merle. And it just helps disciple somebody. It's usually given to someone who's says they're a believer. Maybe they're a nominal believer. Maybe they're just not theologically well-grounded. And what it means is it doesn't mean you sit down with them and go through it all. It just says, here, try this. Read through this, and then I'll give you a call, and we'll see if you've got any questions. And you kind of lead them through it. You have to do that with one person. Husbands and wives who are in here together, you can't do it with each other. Okay, I've had that question come up before. How many people have done experiencing spiritual freedom? That's a requirement to graduate. Now, if we only have it twice a year. This year, it's in March, March 29th and 30th. So if you haven't had it, you can sign up online now. You have to be a member to go. So that comes first. There'll also be one in September. I've had some people who just, because of their work schedule, you have to go on a Friday night and a Saturday. You can't go on Friday and skip Saturday, or vice versa. You have to go to both. So if you can't do that, I've had some people that we would look for an alternative course that they may have had at another church. We don't prefer that, but that's okay. And we've had some people that we'll go ahead and let them graduate, but they have to go next year to ESF. So I keep in touch with them. If you've already been, you don't go again. So this is just for those who haven't gone. It's a good, I call it a seminar, but it's basically to free you from oppression or any problems you're dealing with. Does it make you completely free? I don't think so, but it certainly gives you direction on how to do that. You're saved, you're looked after, and there's answers to your problem. So those are the additional requirements. The graduation will be on Wednesday night, December 11th. You can keep going into 2020 if you need to, without paying fees again. Now, we do have something called graduating with honors. All that means is, for year one, you have to read the New Testament in its entirety during this year. Doesn't matter if you've already done it. You need to do it again. Year two, it's Old Testament. That's more demanding. But year one is New Testament. And there's nothing that says you have to do that. It's just if you want to do that and you want, when you walk across the stage, you say you graduated with honors and you get to wear a sash over your robe. That's it. But it's not about any of that. It's about, I've always been amazed at how many people have been Christians for years and years and years and years, and they've never read the Bible through. It's all for your own benefit. You'll learn things that you've never thought about before. My contact information is Monty, M-O-N-T-E, dot James. Monty.James@Bethelworld.org. I am email-centric. If you're social media-centric, you won't find me anywhere on it. I don't do it. I just, in my persona, my personality, I don't have time. Okay, so you'll have to check your email. If we do communicate quite often, and I'll send you emails. If somebody just has to, I finally gave up and committed to texting. I will text you if you prefer that, but I don't normally do that either. So if you're not used to checking your email but once a month, you're going to miss something. Also, we have an email called Bethel Equip, all one word, at bethelworld.org. And when you send something like generic questions, you send that to that email address, it comes to me and another person. So that's just another way of doing it. To register, the normal fee is $50. If you're a student, if you're a single parent, if you have a spouse that's already registered at the $50, or if you are a senior, 60 years or older, 60 years or older, you get it for $25. You can register at any time, but you should start classes at the beginning of a course. And what I mean by that is not for you all to wait 3 months to register. I will be bugging you about that, but what I mean is if somebody doesn't hear about the class and they want to come in May, well, that's fine. They can register. You register for any course and start at any time, but it's better to start on the first Sunday of the month rather than coming in after two classes have already been held. Now, every class will start on the first Sunday of the month with one exception. Spiritual disciplines starts on March 31st. Why do you think that is? Because we don't have class on Easter, and it's April 21st. So we start on March. There's five Sundays in March, so we start on the fifth Sunday then, and we go and we're closed for Easter. So you still get your 4 weeks in by the end of April. Any other month, like September, that has five Sundays in it, you get the fifth Sunday off. We don't have class.
Do you do that next class next Sunday, the same class next Sunday?
No, we'll either have it, you'll either listen to audio, either that we've had the instructor do an audio on their own, or we'll use last year's, and you'll cover it that way. We've only had one Sunday, I think, in the last couple of years where we couldn't have class because of the weather. But if the church is closed, the classes. If you pay your money and you decide you don't want to do it, or you move out of town, which I've had some people do, refund will be given by the end of the first class. That's like next Sunday. If you go through that class and you say, I don't want it, and you've already paid your money, we give it all back. Now, if you wait till the end of the course, the first course, and you say, I want it back, you get 50% of it back. Okay, I have a question. I'm gonna close this down here. How many people use their cell phone to access the web? And that's all you use? All you use? Okay. You will be able to do all the audio just fine off of your phone. There may be some phones, there's also some older computers, that have trouble with the documents, the notes, and seeing them or getting them to download. So if that becomes an issue, come see me. We'll figure it out. I don't like using the phones for that simply because of that particular issue. And in some browsers, everything will look a little different than in other browsers, so don't be confused by that. If you just can't find anything, just let me know. The other thing that I would recommend is that, especially husband and wife, do the studying together. You need a buddy on this. You need somebody, and if you're here by yourself, get to know the people here. If you have a friend here, find someone that says, you know, let's just talk about some of the homework. Some of the discussion questions that are in the notes, we won't get to them during class. So we expect you to either talk to yourself, which is not recommended, or find somebody within the class to talk to. So it's good to pair up with someone else, or it can be more than one person. Have a little study group, and that just benefits everybody. Any other questions about this at this point? Let me show you real quick for those of you. Some of you have already registered. So if I were going to register, the best way to do it is to, well, there's two ways to do it, but I'll tell you the way we would normally do it is you would go to BethelEquip.org. That takes you actually to the church website, but instead of saying Bethel World, you say Bethel Equip. That takes you straight to the Bethel Equip web page. And the very top one says Bethel School of Discipleship. You'll see right under a short summary, it says Learn More. Click on Learn More. That's where you will find the audios, the notes, and the registration link. You'll see what it says, register for BSD year one. Click on that and you just fill it all out. We want your name, your first name, last name, address, which course you're starting with, which will be Life of Faith for all of you, and just fill that information out. If you are one of those people who gets the $25 one, you'll see in the description it says use promo code BSD25. There's a spot in there for a promo code. You type it in, you add it, and that gives you the $25. Otherwise, it's $50. You fill all that out, you click next, and it'll ask for your payment information, and you're done. It goes right into the database. I get notified, Everything's good. It's simple. For some reason, on some phones specifically, I've had people have issues. Now, if you don't, I've had a couple of people also not have a computer of any sort, nor a smartphone. That's another good reason to pair up with somebody, because they might be able to help you. I've had some people go to the library, print out their notes and things like that. The only time you'd have to print out your notes is if you're gone and you want to get it done before the next class, and I might not have a copy here, so you print them out and then you go through it. You can also look at them online while you're listening to the audio. That's kind of nice. But on a phone, that's hard to do. So, but that's how you register. And if anybody just has an issue with that, come see me next week. Classes start next week, 11 o'clock. We start on time. Come see me during class and I'll get you registered, okay? Any questions? So it's basically during the 11 o'clock service.
Okay.
So people go to the 9 o'clock service, then they come here. There's about a 30-minute wait time. First service is out until these classes start. Yes, ma'am.
When you register, we get the binder next week?
Yes, unless you register on Sunday morning, which some people have done, and I just can't get it made that much because I have to put them together. So if you register earlier in the week, you'll definitely get your binder. Would love to see you all in here next week.
Thank you, Monty. When Monty was talking about the God test, having to use that or the one-to-one booklet, the course on evangelism will actually walk you, so you don't have to do that not knowing what you're doing. You get some basic training.
Right.
Same with the house to house. We won't send you out to visit people who visited Bethel and not give you some basic instruction and also give you a gift to give to them. That Saturday, any given Saturday, there's a brief training that goes on. We just kind of go over some basics of, you know, go to somebody's home and knocking on the door and leaving a gift for them, and have a little moment of prayer, and then you get the names and addresses. So everything that you're asked to do, you'll get some basic instruction on how to do it. And I suppose the main thing that I want to say is that no matter what your background, it's not hard. It's just a matter of sticking with it. So it doesn't depend on how smart you are, or how experienced you are, how much you already know or don't know. Everything that we do in here is designed to be able to take somebody who is brand new and doesn't know a thing and help walk them through, hold their hand, and help you be successful at everything that we ask you to do. So, but as Monty has said, we've had people that have been around the block that already know quite a bit, and they've talked about how they have benefited significantly from going through the School of Discipleship. There's something about a lot of Christian education contexts are heavy on the side of getting people to know the Bible and understand things that the Bible teaches. They're not always that strong on the side of getting people to actually do stuff, to actually get engaged in ministering to people and, you know, seeing God transform somebody else's life. And so what we're trying to do in here is to bring a balance or a mixture of both of those endeavors.